Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. We'll give you the question. Give us your 30-second take. Win a $100 gift card. You better do it today to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. All right, Dodger fans, everybody took a step back last night, Rob, when the news came down that Kenley Jansen was being sent back to Los Angeles. He was struggling in Denver, the altitude there. He has been plagued by an irregular heartbeat. It acted up once again. That's got to be a terrifying experience for anyone. Put baseball aside. He's back. The Dodgers have to figure out who their closer is, and they also have to hope Kenley Jansen is okay.
No doubt about it. I mean, it's just because you just don't know, Fred. You know what I mean? You hope that it'll all work out. It'll be ready to go in a month's time, and it'll just be one of those things that happen, and you can move forward and still be ready. But when you compound that and add that to Clayton Kershaw's last outing where he struck out one guy and has only gone past the seventh inning since April 29th. Is that the date? Something like that. You start to say, we don't have our ace being the ace, and now we have a question with our closer. How far can we get without having those guys tip-top and ready to go as we get closer and closer to the end of the season?
As the Dodgers ponder that, I ask you to ponder this. If you've had any kind of health issue or scare, if you've experienced an irregular heartbeat of any kind during your life, you know how terrifying that can be. I mean, you're looking at your own mortality. And there are some things that are bigger than the game. There are some things that are bigger than wins and losses.
Your health, absolutely.
And it's something that is baffling to many. Rob, right off the top, just for a couple of minutes, I want to bring someone on here that really understands this. He's the team cardiologist for the Galaxy. He's a dear friend of mine. I want to welcome Dr. Ash Emrani to the program. Doctor, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Let's talk about an irregular heartbeat. What does that mean, and what can it cause?
So the irregular heartbeat in Mr. Jansen is called atrial fibrillation, where the top chambers of the heart start beating irregularly and out of sync with the bottom chambers of the heart. And what causes atrial fibrillation in a young person is really not well known, but it's thought to be because the pressures in the pulmonary artery go up and cause this irregular heartbeat. The problem with it is that it can cause a stroke if there's a clot formation in the top chambers of the heart. And also, when it beats out of sync with the bottom chambers of the heart, it can cause shortness of breath when you're doing exercise, or somebody that's an athlete, it can make them dizzy, it can make them out of breath, it can significantly decrease their energy level.
Dr. Ash Emrani is with us at AM 570 LA Sports. And how does altitude play into this? Because we have heard that Kenley has struggled in altitude before.
So what happens is when you go to a high altitude of, let's say, 5,000-7,000 feet or higher than that, you cause a decrease in the level of available oxygen. It causes an acute hypoxia or a chronic hypoxia. So there's a lower amount of oxygen that you are getting up in altitude. The lower you go, the higher the oxygen. The higher you go, the lower the oxygen. And when you get low oxygen, that causes a rush of adrenaline, and your heart rate starts going up because the heart is trying to pump more oxygen to the blood. So if you have less oxygen in high altitude, the heart is working extra hard, and your adrenaline is going up. And then remember the pulmonary arteries that I talked about. Those are the arteries in the lungs, the pressure goes up. So this actually can trigger, again, atrial fibrillation in somebody who's had a history of atrial fibrillation.
So what do you do to treat this? Is there medication you can take? Is there exercise you can do? How do you correct it?
So you cannot exercise for atrial fibrillation. What you can do is go up to altitude slowly so your body Body can get used to it. You can take extra oxygen with you up there, and that can help it. But once you go into atrial fibrillation, you really have to do what he did before, which was a cardioversion. They shocked his heart so that it became synchronous again. So the top chamber and bottom chamber, the atria and the ventricle started working together in unison. Now, what happens is you can take medications. There are many medications such as Sotalol, Flecainide, Amiodarone. Those are medications that I use regularly, but they have a lot of side effects, and they slow you down, and they make you not be able to breathe well, and they can actually make you tired, so it's not good for an athlete. I think that the best thing to do, and I, of course, I don't know him personally, and I don't know his medical conditions, all of his medical conditions, but if he does an ablation, which means that they go in with an electrode inside his heart, and they burn the area around the pulmonary artery, it can actually cure him so that he doesn't have to struggle with this irregular heartbeat. So my thoughts are that the best treatment for him is to have an ablation and cure this condition so that he doesn't have to struggle with this chronically, since he's going to be, and since he's such a valuable player for the team.
Well, doctor, thank you for the insight and thank you for the information. We appreciate you jumping on today.
Fred, it's always a pleasure talking with you.
Good talking with you, doctor. Dr. Ash Imrani, a cardiologist and also a cardiologist for the LA Galaxy. So I guess the good news for Kenley Jansen is, as they consider what to do to try to prevent this in the future, there is something that can be done. But in the present, now, what do you do if you're the Dodgers? Do you go outside and try to trade for somebody? Or do you find somebody on the staff that can fill in and close?
And we just saw the Oakland A's pick up Fernando Rodney.
And good for them.
Right, for the, I knew you don't have no part of Fernando Rodney. The guy's had a big career saving
Rob,
games.
Rob, his ERA is like 900.
That's okay. He's got 25 saves.
Well, fine. So he goes in, he gets 25 saves, and he loses seven games. I mean, that's not what you want from your closer.
But you want someone who's done that, been there, Fred. You can't just bring anybody. Anybody can't just be a closer.
There is a reason Fernando Rodney has played for 29 teams. I mean, there's a reason this guy has been around. You don't want Fernando Rodney.
Has he had any success? I'm just asking.
Has he?
Yes.
I think it's measured. Best case, measured success.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, because when you put a guy who's inexperienced in there and then they don't get it done, you'll be the first one crying about, why would you put that guy? Why would you put him in there?
The Dodgers acquired John Axford. He was a closer. They brought him in and he was gas lamp, gas tank. They just ignited the guy. So, no, just because you've done it doesn't mean you want somebody in that position. I'll tell you who it should be.
Who should it be?
I've got the answer.
All right.
You don't need to go out and trade for anybody.
So, do you mean they have them in-house already?
Everything's good. Right here. Let's put Kenta Maeda back there. Let's do it immediately. He was lights out last year against Houston. Let's go with Maeda. You've got a guy sitting right there that had incredible success.
Which is probably what they're going to do because of the success. And B, there aren't closers just laying around out there, right?
Well, everybody wants them to go and get Iglesias, the closer from Cincinnati, who's having a terrific year.
He's a good singer, but can he get outs in the ninth inning?
Yeah, apparently he can. The issue is, I'm not so sure Cincinnati is going to trade Iglesias. They've got to put him on waivers to start with. Ned Colletti will join us in the next segment. He'll explain how the process works. Other names that you might consider from the dreaded Giants, Hunter Strickland. Willie Peralta of Kansas City is available or might be. Cody Allen of Cleveland, although his ERA is 4.37. You don't want a guy like that. You don't want a closer with an ERA of 4.
What about Shane Green from Detroit?
His ERA is 4. Why would you want a guy as your closer with an ERA of 4? No, that's not the guy you want.
He's got 23 saves this year.
And he could lose it any moment. Any moment. You don't want a guy like that. I say just put Maeda in there. He's sitting here, period. You've got the guy. He's on your roster. We'll ask Ned about it. But for BJ's today at 866-987-2570, now we know Kenley Jansen is out. We don't know how long. One report said a month. We don't have that confirmed. But we know this. He's out. And he's not coming back until he's 100%.
And he shouldn't come back.
Agreed. So, who's going to close for the Dodgers at this most critical time of the year? Do you go outside and get somebody? or do you stay in-house? And if you stay in-house, who do you pick? I pick Kenta Maeda. Dodger fans, who should it be and where should you find them? 866-987-2570, your best 30-second take. Get you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. We will sprinkle your calls in. And when we come back, Ned Coletti will join us. We'll get his take and his insight. It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. Rob Parker in today for Rodney, AM 570 LA Sports. Ned Coletti will join us here in a couple of minutes. Dodger fans, what are you going to do? You've got to make a decision. Somebody's got to fill in. And for the man that sent us that incredible dedication, we go to him now. Mitch and Tarzana, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks for the kind words, Mitch.
Oh, Fred, you're too kind. You're the best. 2 hours is not enough show. I tell you, you should be a full-time worker here. You're a full-blooded American. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Another beautiful Friday. I say to Dodgers, this is going to make them get a starter. You know, the Mets at the bottom. I'd love to get DeGrom, but I'd be satisfied with Wheeler or even Syndergaard. That'd be awesome. Got to get another starter. The hitting will come around, and Walker is going to be more power on him, more pressure on the guy, but I think he could do it. This time of year. Thanks a lot, guys, and have a nice weekend.
Mitch, you do the same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, but they can't get a starter. That's the issue. They've got to – now the issue is we've got to find somebody that can close games. Let's go Neil in Los Angeles. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, I think they should move Walker Buehler to the bullpen. He throws hard and he has good breaking stuff. Thank you.
Okay.
Short and sweet. That's what you said. You like that, right?
I do. And he had a decent idea. I don't know if I think he'd be more effective as a starter. And given that we saw Maeda last year in relief and seeing how effective he was, that might be the way to go. Let's go Manuel and Gardena. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob, first off, man, I know why you want Iglesias, man, because he can be your hero, right?
That's right.
I would go myself with the Dean, because he's the Dean, and you got to do my head.
I'm the Dean.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Very nice. Let's find out what Ned Coletti thinks. He sat in the chair. He knows he was the man that was there when they converted Kenley Jansen from a catcher to a closer. Let's bring him on now. Ned, thanks for jumping on.
Always a pleasure, guys.
You know, we've seen this with Kenley Jansen in the past. High altitude has affected his heart. Now, you were in the chair. You had Kenley. What can you tell us?
Well, it did happen a few years ago. I'm pretty sure it happened in Colorado as
yes.
well. And he did miss some time. It was late in the season, as I recall. I don't remember all the detail to it. But, you know, he was obviously – it was when he was first getting established as a closer, in fact. And so, you know, he's obviously pitched for a few years here at a very, very high level and with tremendous success. So hopefully it can fix whatever the issue is, because certainly when you have something like this, you know, we think about the team, obviously, but we first and foremost always think about the man, the family man, the father, the husband, the son, you know, so – kind of a nerve-wracking type of situation here.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You don't mess with somebody when their heart's not beating properly. And
no.
You know, it's more important to sit and get it figured out than try to force them out there.
No doubt. And, the Dodgers have great medical people, and getting him back to L.A. apparently is where he's at today. Great move there, too. And get him comfortable and get to the bottom of it. You know, he's a guy that we've known a long time now. And we've seen him grow up. We've seen him mature. We've seen him get married. We've seen him start a family. Those, to me, are as soon as I heard this news, that was where my focus went immediately, was his well-being, his wife's well-being, and the children and his family.
Ned, just put your GM hat on for a minute. This problem presents itself, and you got to go out and do something just to safeguard yourself. In case he's not ready for later on in the season when you need him and, you know, in the big spots. What do you do? Do Dodgers try to find another closer somewhere, somehow?
Well, this is the challenge of doing something this time of year, because once you get past that trading deadline, it is far more difficult to do. And in this particular case, I think they do have internal options. I think when we looked at Maeda pitch last year in October, he was so good, and he's been terrific this year. He's got the intestinal fortitude as well as the stuff. to pitch the last inning or plus inning of a game. I think means taking them out of the rotation. But internally, I think they're going to have some options. They used Scott Alexander last night. This team is built with its depth. We talk about it pretty much every conversation we have, how much depth they have. And they're also a team that has gone through all sorts of different injury adversities. Talk about Clayton being gone periods of time the last couple of years, and a lot of their rotation on the DL, JT being out this year, Corey being out almost the entire year. So adversity is the great challenge, and this team is a team that does seem to pick it up when adverse situations do happen, and they got to figure a different plan out. They're usually very good at doing it, and they also have enough people that are game for pretty much any situation. So I think, first and foremost, I think you look internally to see if you've got the people inside the organization right here, right now, that can do it. I happen to think Maeda is somebody that can certainly do it if they think they have enough starting pitching to put him at that point in the game, because he was terrific last year pitching the seventh and eighth inning, and his stuff this year is as good, if not better, than it was a year ago.
Hey, the A's beat the Dodgers to him, but Fernando Rodney could have been that guy. They just traded for him from the Twins. Is there any other Are there any other Fernando Rodneys out there? You know, and he has 25 saves. Somebody who's been a big time closer. I just off the top of my head, other than Fernando Rodney, I don't know who else is out there.
Yeah, but I'll say this too, Ned. Before you even get into that, Fernando Rodney's like a gas can.
Stop.
Sure, yeah. he might pick up some saves, but you know his ERA is like 90. So
I think it's best this time of year, unless you really don't think that you have the people internally, and you know, I believe they do. I think you really look inside. This is a very close-knit group, and think about it. Anybody that has got a closer that is not competing right now as a team has probably moved that player if he's got great value. They probably moved him at the deadline, unless he's signed, got a chance to be there for many years, which then the price is going to be kind of prohibitive. At the same time, if you're a contending team, you're not trading any relief pitching at this time, most likely. Again, you got to get them through waivers. People who get through waivers this time of year, the contracts are either inflated or the production has deflated. It's one or the other. And it's rare that you'll be able to find real quality at this stage, especially when you're talking about somebody that is playing a position that is one of the foremost positions on any championship club. I think you start internally and then you look outside, but outside may not be as good as inside.
During the waiver process, we're with Ned Coletti on AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rob Parker. During the waiver process, if somebody makes a claim and the club pulls them back, can only one team make one claim and then that's it? Or can multiple teams make claims?
29 teams can make claims. It's going to go in the inverse order of your winning percentage. But once a player has been, is claimed and then is pulled back, once a player is pulled back, he cannot go back on waivers for 30 more days. So if you had a player pulled back August 5th, he cannot go back on waivers till September 4th. And then you got another couple days of the waiver period. And then if the team that does claim him and a team that is going to be based on the lowest winning percentage team has the first right to the claim, that team then gets him. There's no pulling back the second time around. So it's rare that a player goes through it twice. Then for sure it's a situation that you're probably going to get somebody that is overpaid or underperforming. Rare that you could do it. But see, that doesn't happen. The way it's set up, because you got your August 31st roster too. That's the roster that qualifies for your postseason. You got to be inside the organization by 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, on the 31st day of August in order to be eligible for a postseason roster. So if a player's been claimed already, close has been claimed, you cannot go back out there for 30 days from the day of the claiming. So you're in September, you're past that one date, and that does also change the dynamic a lot by then.
The Dodgers moving forward, do you still look at, if you're a Dodger fan, Ned, the news of Jansen is bad enough, but then also Kershaw isn't Kershaw. So your two things that you could always rely on the last few years, now a little bit in question. Is that overstating the affairs of having your closer and your ace not pitching to what we've known him to be?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's a very poignant question if you're an organization that really kind of is built, your pitching staff is built on the pillars on the end, the ace, starter, and the closer. This team and this bullpen is not built on those two pillars alone. They have many other tremendous players and pitchers in that organization, in that rotation, in that pen that are capable. That's how this team has been constructed. The depth of it, it allows them to have more fallback positions and more next man up type mentalities than most teams. This happens to any other team in the league. They're pretty much done, especially in a race where it's a half game at this stage. But this organization has got so many different options and so many different people. Again, it's not easy missing Kenley Jansen. Don't get me wrong. It's not easy missing Clayton Kershaw. You're talking about two of the best at what they do in the entire game. But there are still reliable pitchers in the midst of that group that can take it. We've seen it with Clayton. The team actually has had a decent record without him. You never want him missing a start. The team has played well despite missing Clayton Kershaw or not having Clayton Kershaw at what you were accustomed to seeing a couple of years back, where every performance was dominant. So there is enough there. There is enough there. It depends on what Dave Roberts wants to do, what the front office wants to do, what Rick Honeycutt, Mark Pryor think is best. They know the quality of the individuals and also the talent better than anybody, but we're watching a lot of it. We've all watched a lot of it. I do believe that they do have the pieces inside to be able to sustain it for as long as they'll need to sustain it.
And Ned, on a lighter note to end this, did you see the little league kid who gave up the monster home run over the center field fence? And this is the part that I wasn't expecting. The pitcher himself gave the kid like a high five as he ran around the bases, like he was waiting for him almost at home. It was in between third and home. Do you frown on that, or is that all right?
I didn't see that, but it is Little League, too.
Yeah, it's little. He's a 12-year-old kid. But the kid hit such a shot, Ned. You know what I mean? Where even the pitcher was like, man, that was unbelievable.
I'm not sure I would have seen Mario Rivera high-five a Luis Gonzalez at the end of the 0-2 World Series. I don't think that would have happened. But you know what? Sportsmanship is a good thing, especially at that age.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, Ned, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it today, and have a great weekend.
All right, gentlemen, talk to you soon.
You got it, Ned, and we will get more into the high-five home run coming up. Dodger fans, visit Outback Steakhouse tomorrow. Mention the Dodgers hit three homers last night on AM570 LA Sports. You'll receive a free Bloomin' Onion, only at Outback Steakhouse locations in Southern California. Limit one per table.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
Real or Fake, brought to you by personal injury attorney Joseph S. Narmon, committed to make sure you get the top results for your personal injury matter. If you've been injured, give him a call, 866-777-0677.
You know, I'm not lying, Fred, when I tell you this. Last night, I'm flipping around, and guess what episode of Seinfeld was on?
Which one?
They're Real and They're Spectacular. That was on last night.
Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
When Elaine went to the sauna and fell into her and found out they were real.
That was that is one of the best episodes. That's a great episode by Seinfeld.
Hilarious.
I'm guessing you like the Keith Hernandez conspiracy.
Yes, I like episode. That one. There's a couple other ones. When they think George and Jerry are gay. Do you remember that episode? That's another great one.
Not that
one.
There's anything wrong with it.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No. All right, joining us today to compete, a return appearance by Dahlia from Promotions. Hello, Dahlia.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Hello, Dahlia. Just hello, Dahlia. Have you heard that before?
No, I actually haven't.
No?
No, it's the first time.
Yeah, because she's not 73 years old, Rob. That's why she's never heard that before.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm showing my age.
It was great, though. It was great.
I was just saying hello. Are you ready
hello
to lose?
Hello to you. No, are you ready to lose? That's the real question.
I don't lose.
That's the real question. Are you...
She's talking smack to me.
I heard you're not good at this game, so...
Oh, wow.
That's what I heard.
Your reputation precedes you.
I guess. And she's already spewing rumors, putting out stuff out there in the atmosphere about my ability to win. All right, I'm ready for you.
I beat Jason Smith once.
So. Is that right?
Yes, I beat Jason Smith.
Now, Jason Smith and Rob Parker, apples and oranges.
Here we go. LeBron James missed 18 of the 24 shots he took yesterday. Pictures and video of LeBron James' first workout at the Lakers practice facility surfaced yesterday. Bill Orme of The Athletic tweeted LeBron missed 18 of the 24 shots he took from the perimeter. Rob, he's been a little rusty. Is that real or fake?
18 out of 24.
And does it really matter if he's just practicing?
Right. No, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it's real.
I'm going to say he missed 18 of 24. Dahlia.
I'm going to say it's fake. I should have read more into this, but...
No, you shouldn't. You're right.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Yeah, stop you right there. You got it.
Woohoo!
I just gave you that one. I don't want you to feel bad when you get skunked. So, okay, now you're good? You got
okay.
one?
Okay.
See, the less you read, the better you do, because a mind is a terrible thing to use.
It's LeBron James.
Okay.
I mean, come on.
A major league player has chosen the name Underpants to be printed on the back of his jersey for MLB Players Weekend. Nicknames for all of the teams were announced yesterday by the major leagues for their Players Weekend jerseys. Giant outfielder Hunter Pence was chosen and the nickname Underpants. Will his jersey say Underpants? Dahlia, is that real or fake?
I only read the Dodgers
sure.
nicknames, but I will go with fake.
You'll say
I'll
fake.
I'll say it's fake, yes.
Nobody would put underpants on their jersey.
I feel like they would, but Pence, I don't think he would.
Okay.
I'd say fake.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm going to say it's true.
You're saying a grown man will walk around with the word underpants on his jersey.
Yeah, he wanted the pens, but couldn't get the sponsorship.
Yes, Jason.
Go ahead and reveal the answer, Fred. I have a little insight to this answer.
Oh, the answer is...
Yeah, it's real.
So do me a favor, guys. Say Hunter Pence really fast.
Underpants. Underpants,
there
Hunter
it is.
Pence.
I kind of got that after I was like saying it in my mind, but I gave you that one.
Just
so we're tied. So, you know, there's a game. The game's right. back on, so.
Dahlia, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
So you went to the store.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to get personal. So you went to the store and you bought some new underwear. Put on the underwear. All of a sudden, got a terrible rash. Maybe even contracted a yeast infection.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't put that in the app.
Why is everybody looking at me like that? It's a real medical condition. Okay. Is that your fault?
No.
No, of course
no.
not. It's the manufacturer's fault, right?
Of course.
The fabric might have been faulty.
If it gives you a rash, then yeah. But
okay.
I mean.
If you ever
it depends on the person, actually, but.
All right, let's not go there. Let's put it like this. If you buy underwear, put it on and get a rash. That's a personal injury.
Yes.
There's one man to call. Joseph S. Normand. 866-777-0677. Wearing boxers may be better for your sperm count, according to a study. What is this stuff today? Researchers from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health have found that men who wear boxers tend to have higher sperm count and better quality sperm than men who wear tighter underwear, according to a study published Wednesday in the Journal of Human Reproduction. Rob, boxers or briefs, real or fake?
This is real. It does make a difference. If you got the tighty-whities on, is that what they call them?
Yes.
I don't think the guys really wear those anymore. Nobody wears those, but those are not good for making babies.
You're saying it's real.
It's real.
Dahlia.
I would say it's real because I've read something about, you know, it's tight, so the constriction or the restriction or something like that. So
right.
I would say it's real.
Right. The tightness, the constriction.
It's not good.
And Dahlia said to me, you know, in my ear, she said, I don't know how you guys walk around with those things.
Fred, weren't you on the cover of the Journal of Human Reproduction?
Well, I do have 5 children.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going commando.
There we go. More information than we need.
TMI.
You didn't do that when you were dunking on people in basketball, did you, Fred? Because that wouldn't be comfortable for
no,
you.
No.
Okay.
No, what?
I know you want to embarrass the opponent, but, I mean, that's taking it to a whole nother level.
What were the jocks called? Ace?
Ace.
Ace jocks? Was that what they were called?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I rocked one of those. Too much information again.
Too much information.
Former Astros closer Ken Giles wants out of Toronto. Ken Giles traded to Toronto before the non-waiver deadline, has expressed his interest being traded elsewhere. In an article with the Toronto Star, Giles said, "I just want to pitch for a U.S. team again. It is best for my family." He wants out. Dahlia, is that real or fake?
Let's see. I would say it's fake.
Saying fake.
I'm saying it's fake. I know he got traded, but I don't think he would say something like that, because that's kind of offensive upset, to the team.
Yeah, then he'd upset an entire country.
Yeah, so I would say it's fake.
Rob?
I think that's fake as well. He wants to play for a U.S. team. Has he ever been to, do you know what Toronto's like, an American city?
It's a great city.
It's a great city. That can't be real.
It's not.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Never lost. You guys are still tied. Basketball star takes selfies with lion and gets bitten. Philadelphia 76er star Joel Embiid visited a lion sanctuary in South Africa. He was there for the NBA's Basketball Without Borders charity game. Video shows him holding one of the cubs when the small lion started biting his arm. Embiid is shown wincing in pain and cursing as the lion dug in. Joel Embiid, just a big piece of meat. Rob, is that real or fake?
I think that's fake, too. I'm not buying it. I think they can't just turn these animals loose on these. This guy's worth a gazillion dollars to the 76ers. I'm going to say it's fake.
All right. He was not bitten by a lion. Dahlia.
I will say it's fake because, first of all, I think I would have seen it on Twitter, sure, all over Twitter or something.
Right.
And like you said, these guys are worth a lot, and I don't think they would put themselves in a situation where they could be out for the season or just get any type of injury at this point.
Or have your arm bit off.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Well, they did.
Really? Go Google it, guys. Go on Twitter. It's everywhere, Dahlia.
Oh,
go
sorry.
Go look at the video.
I was working, Jason. I couldn't be on my phone.
I didn't know that the lions like dark meat. I wasn't sure of that.
It's such an easy joke.
I know. What do you want me to do?
You're saying if it was J.J. Redick, he wouldn't
have been. Right.
Ever tell you about the time a horse bit me? When I was dating out at Santa Anita, interviewing a jockey.
Did you call Joseph S. Norman?
I would have. 866-777-0677.
Did he bite you hard, really?
He bit me on the shoulder.
What'd you do to him?
Nothing. I was just standing there.
You called him Mr. Ed, didn't you?
I did not.
You know that's very degrading when you do that to them.
I understand, but I didn't do that.
Okay.
Horses bit me.
He was just horsing around. You know that.
Oh, my God. Ever tell you about the time a monkey hit me in the mouth? I was doing the talk show Arthel and Fred, which now lives in the annals of television history. And we had little animals come in.
Oh, you do like the whole Jack Hanna where he brings in the entire zoo with him.
Yeah, but it wasn't Jack Hanna. Okay. You know, it was like Josh Harmon.
I see.
Animals. And he brought a little monkey and a diaper in, and I was holding the monkey.
Oh, God.
And I thought, oh, my God, this monkey is so cute. And I'm holding the monkey, and I'm talking to the monkey, and the monkey just whacks me right in the mouth. And let me tell you what, if you don't realize this, just trust me, little monkeys are strong. Yeah.
I bet they are strong to be able to be bouncing around those trees, right?
That monkey let me have it.
It could have been worse. He could have took his diaper off and hit you with that, so.
This is it.
This is for the win.
You're tied. Right? You're tied.
I thought I was winning. Didn't that beat her on the other question?
No, we're 3-3.
I thought I won the other question.
No, I think... Is it 3-3? All right, it's 3-3. This is it. And Dahlia, you'll go first.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian...
Here's where Dahlia chokes. Okay.
...disses Nicki Minaj on Big Boy's Morning Show. During an appearance on Big Boy's Morning Show this week, Kim Kardashian was asked about Nicki Minaj's new album, Queen. Kim told Big Boy, "That's a hard pass for me." Dahlia... For the win, is it real or fake?
I will say it's fake just because I don't think she wants to bring any drama to her at this point after a lot of things she's been through. But I will say it's fake. And I should have listened to the interview, but fake.
Rob.
Now, do I want to wimp out and just say fake and then this way it would be a tie for sure? Do I want to say it's true and have a chance to win?
You tell me.
I'm a real man.
Right.
It's true.
It's true? You lost.
It's all fake news.
I knew it.
It's phony stuff.
Congratulations, Dahlia.
Yay. I told you, Rob. I told you.
Unbelievable.
Well done. Seriously.
Thank you so much.
Should I continue or should I leave now? Should I just leave the show now after that?
No. We want you to stay.
And we all want to hear what you have to say about the next topic as well.
Yes.
If you or a loved one has been in an accident or experienced a personal injury matter, time is not on your side. Calling the law offices of Joseph S. Normand immediately after your accident is the most important thing you can do. accident victims receive nearly three times larger settlements when they have legal representation after an accident. Recent cases settled in Southern California, slip and fall, $500,000. Auto accident, $7 million. Motorcycle accident, $1.2 million. Joseph S. Norman committed to make sure you get the top results for your personal injury matter. If you've been injured, give him a call, 866-777-0677. Schedule your free consultation, no obligation, no recovery, no fee, no upfront fees. You only pay if they win the case. And if you want a second opinion on your current case, he will be happy to help. He is our friend. He is the best. Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677. When we come back, we'll award BJ's. Plus, if your son gives somebody a high five after they just hit a 600-foot home run off him, are you a proud dad, a proud mom, or not? Fred Rogan, Rob Parker, AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Rob Parker sitting in for Rodney. And Rob, we appreciate you being here all week.
Man, Fred, you know, we're always cool, and it's always cool I get to come in with you guys and hang out. Either you or Rodney are out, and this whole week has been great. Started at Chargers camp, right? And we've been together all week. It's been a lot of fun.
And people should know we're pretty good friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we like hanging out together.
But you know what's funny is, even before I finally came out here to move and live, I always felt like I knew you, even though we didn't know each other.
Right.
Am I right? Is that the...
Yeah, first time we met, I walked up to you at Dodger Stadium yes. and said hello.
But I remember watching you when I used to come visit my late Aunt Beverly.
Right.
Remember? I used to always watch you, so I watched you for years.
Well, I appreciate you being here. We do.
Yep, thanks.
It's Free Movie Friday, and Adam Tickets, the best app to book your movie tickets, wants to hook you up with tickets to see The Meg. Theaters today. Don't miss your chance to witness the biggest shark to ever hit theaters. Text Adam to ATOM1, that's 28661, for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply. Little League regional tournament going on now, and the winners of the regions here in the United States will advance to the Little League World Series.
Every single game is on now. Is this unbelievable?
When I umpired, that wasn't the case. Back in the day, when I was one of the umpires at the Little League World Series, only the championship game was televised. But now every game, and now the regional tournaments are televised. As a matter of fact, right now we're looking at one in San Bernardino, the Northwest Regional Elimination Game. Anyway, in one of these games, in one of these elimination games in the regions, one of the pitchers serves up a fat one.
This big kid, I mean, he looked like he was 16 years old. I mean, he's a 12-year-old. He hits a... Jason, did you see it?
What was the pitcher that got caught like 10 years ago?
Amonte?
Yeah, that's who it was.
Somebody's got to run an ID check on this kid.
Did you see the kid?
I saw a mustache.
He was Fred.
12-year-old.
He's so big, you can't even get... I'm looking at this guy going, how could he be 12 years old? He didn't hit a ball just straightaway center field. Straightaway center field over the scoreboard. It was an unbelievable shot.
So the pitcher that gives up the home run, you know, obviously you're going to be a bit upset. You just gave up a home run. That might knock you out of the whole thing to this gigantic kid. The pitcher walks up to the plate, right?
He walks like a guy's rounding third, heading towards home. So in between, you know, closer to home plate, he sticks his hand out to give the guy a high five who he just gave up the home run to. Give him a pound, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was bothered by it. I was like, I know he's 12 years old, but I was like, if that was my son, and I don't have any kids, but if that was my son, Fred, I would not be cool with that. I'm sorry. Sportsmanship, if you want to say something to him after the game, you know, like, man, you got me, and man, that was impressive. I got after the game, not during the game, and I'm not giving you high five. I know you wouldn't have been happy if your son did that.
Oh, I agree. After the game, walk up to the guy and say, that was something. During the game, walking up and giving the guy knuckles or a pound.
Right.
If you're the coach or the manager, I would be pissed. Like, what is that?
Yeah, but
you're
here's
trying
the,
to compete here.
Here's the problem.
At
yes.
the highest level, by the way.
I agree. This is a big deal.
But here's the problem. In the world we live in today, sportsmanship, everybody's a winner.
Political correctness.
Everybody gets a trophy.
I hate this world. I hate that. I do. Everybody gets a trophy. I'm not in for that.
I'm not either. I don't believe in everybody
gets a trophy. I don't believe in that. When I played in Little League, teams that finished in four didn't finish either first or second, didn't get trophies. You went home on trophy night with nothing.
Because what it does, if you give everybody an award, if everybody gets something, you've just diminished the person that has won.
Right.
You're, in essence, penalizing those people. Hey, we've worked harder. Maybe we have more ability. Maybe we got lucky.
And
maybe. But it doesn't matter. They won. And if you say, you know what? Yeah, you won. But little Billy's team that didn't win a game,
they got a trophy too.
They were out here working just as hard as you were.
And you
and
know.
Everybody gets a trophy. It diminishes what you've accomplished.
100%. And I don't know, Fred, if anybody would want to call in, but I'm just curious, if you had a son on that team and your son did that, would you be okay with it, or would you be bummed out that your kid, I get the sportsmanship and being cool and it's only a game, but I just think there's a time and a place for everything. After the game is all over and either we beat you, came back and beat you, or we lost, I'm cool with you saying, man, that was an awesome shot. During the game, I'm not giving you five for nothing.
I agree. But it's a difference. It's the difference in the way people think.
We'll bring up a former Dodger who gave up the Hank Aaron's home run. Al Downing, right?
Al Downing. Yes,
now,
indeed.
You didn't see Al Downing waiting at home plate.
No.
That was just a game in April, and it was the biggest home run in the history of the game.
Absolutely. That's a great point, right? Jason. Yes.
No, Al Downing was pissed. He gave up that home run.
He didn't want to give it up. I mean, right.
He was so pissed that he gave a juice ball about 90 miles an hour right down the middle.
You think he did it on purpose?
I think, well, that was the rumor. That was the whole thing. He kind of served it up to the guy.
No,
but he definitely didn't give him a fist bump.
I don't think you ever want to be on that side to be a trivia question. Like, people always say that. Oh, yeah, here's my chance. I'm going to just lob it in and let him, like, crush it or whatever. I think you're trying to compete, I think, if you're on that level. Well, if he gets you, he gets you.
Yeah, but that's the difference in the mindset of competing today. And I think you bring up a good point, Rob. If you're a parent, would you want your son or daughter, to sit there during the game? The game is not over. And someone has just gotten them.
I would have felt like I failed as a parent. That I didn't get the, you know what I mean? That I didn't put through that you should be competitive and trying to win at all times. Not to be like dirty or not be sportsmanlike, but that's out of bounds. I would pull my son aside and say, don't you ever do that again.
I remember a couple of years ago when our son was at Calabasas and he was playing basketball and they were in the state finals and they had this incredible run and won some big games. And, you know, he contributed greatly to this and now they're going to get beat. They're going to get knocked out of the tournament.
Okay.
And they were there and the place was packed. I mean, the fans from Calabasas had one side, the other team was on the other. It was loud. It was crazy. It was nip and tuck, but you could tell they were going down.
Right.
And there's like 12 seconds left, and the other team is shooting a foul shot. And I looked down at the court, and I saw my son, and he looked up at the scoreboard, and he looked back at the court, and he had this look on his face like, damn. And he was mad.
He was mad. He wanted to win.
He was mad. And you could just see it. And I thought he did a really great job of controlling his emotion. But I could see in his face at that moment, that sense of resignation. It was over. They weren't going to be able to come back again.
Right.
And he was mad.
And he was mad about it.
He would not have gone up to the foul line and high-fived the guy who's shooting the foul shot with 12 seconds left.
And this is the other thing now, because all these games for kids, these are 12-year-olds, right? And 12 and less. Every game is now broadcast. That kid goes back to school, right, when September. Everybody's seen he gave up this monster blast. So it's not like it happened and you heard about it. People see it. They'll have it on Twitter or have it on. And here you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then they'll say, you gave this guy a five after he, like, hit a rocket shot off you, the one that scraped the moon? Like, why in the world would you do that?
Jason, who wins BJ's today?
Neil in L.A. today, and this call is so brief. It was about Buehler. He wanted Buehler to be the closer for Kenley Jansen today. I don't need to play it back, but Neil in L.A., you win. And what does he win, Fred?
A $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, and the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. All right. I see the lines are lit here.
Are they talking about the Little League?
All right, when we come back, if they want to talk Little League, if they want to get into this as a parent, we want to hear what they have to say.
I would. I really would like to hear if you're a parent and your kid did that, if that's cool.
We'll do that. It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in for Rodney on AM570 LA Sports. Kevin, what is coming up at 1:30?
Fred, someone says the best scorer in NBA history is playing right now.
The best scorer?
Best scorer in the history of basketball is playing right now.
Right now?
Right now.
In August.
Yes, even in August.
All right. Well, we'll have to figure that out.
Is Kareem playing out back? Is there a hoop outside the station?
He may be.
All right. Well, we'll get to that at 1:30. Later this hour, Vinny Bonsignor will join us from Baltimore. Rams opened the preseason last night against the Ravens.
Not pretty.
Well, not a lot. They didn't play anybody. It's like they put you and me out there. But there was one guy that everybody was keeping a close eye on, didn't perform well. Vinny will join us about that. Before the top of the hour break, we were talking about the situation in Little League Baseball, where the pitcher in a regional game, by the way, win the regional, go to the World Series, pitcher in a regional game gives up a monster home run, then goes to home plate and basically, you know, pounds the guy, gives him a high five, gives him knuckles and says, good job, man. You just hit it 900 feet off me. And, you know, hey, would you buy that?
Maybe, Fred, we're different, cut from a different cloth, because Fred and I both don't think I would be cool with that.
I wouldn't be cool with that. After the game, no problem. Go up there. Hey, good shot, man.
Yeah, give him respect after the
game.
When
you're shaking hands in the line? Absolutely. You got me. During the game, go up and give the guy a high five? Let's find out. Nathan in Corona. You're on AM570 LA Sports, and you think this works. You have no problem with it, right?
Yeah, I got no problem with it at all. You know, you can look at Andrew Luck. Every time he gets sacked, he goes up and says, hey, good hit, man. That's awesome. You know, some people can't get angry because it messes up their performance. So if they can move forward and still play good, then there's no problem with saying, hey, good shot.
Okay, but I think Andrew Luck does that to kind of mess with guys.
Right. That's what I think. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, his approach is, hey, you got me. And they're looking at him like, what?
But I don't think it's poor sportsmanship not to dap the guy because he hit a home run. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not doing anything wrong if you don't acknowledge him.
In Little League Baseball, if the pitcher hits the batter, how many times, not when I played, of course, I played when dinosaurs roamed the earth, but how many times now do you see hit batter, pitcher walks up and shakes his hand? He hit the batter.
Right.
And then he goes up and shakes his hand. I'd yank your arm right out of your socket. Don't come up here and shake my hand.
Right.
After you just hit me. You know what? First, I know you didn't mean it. And second, I don't need your handshake. We'll worry about it later.
We'll worry about it later when the next time I get up and get a hit off you.
Chad and Brea, go ahead.
I think it's fine. I think it's equating it to everybody getting trophies a little much. I think it's a little weird, but I think that the fact, like, when somebody hits a line drive to third base and makes a nice catch, the guy on third base is going to tell him, hey, that was a nice play. Same thing, you see somebody on first base, if they get a hit, the first baseman's got his glove over his face, telling him, hey, that's a nice play, good job.
Yeah, but you don't high-five the guy,
you don't
Chad.
You don't meet him at home plate as he's going towards the score against your team?
You're right. It's a little weird, but I don't think it's as bad as you guys are making it out. I think it's a good show of sportsmanship, and I might, when he comes back, I might say, hey, you know, go out there and get him, and, you know, like you said, just tell him after the game. But I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's something.
If it was my son, if I had a son, he wouldn't have supper that night.
No, he'd eat.
No, he wouldn't eat. Not at my house.
That might be a little drastic.
I'd say go to that kid's house and eat there. That's where you should go tonight.
Go spend time with your friend who kicked your ass.
Exactly. Kev, you know I'm right, right?
I'll feel you up.
Tom in Sacramento, you're a Little League umpire. So was I. You think it's okay too, right?
Actually, I do. Part of it is in the beginning of the season, all the players take a Little League pledge about having good sportsmanship. And then before every game during the tournaments, they take the same pledge, talk about good sportsmanship, try their best. And at the end of the game of every tournament, all those players get together and shake hands. So you can say it. It's okay then, too. So, good sportsmanship all across the board in Little League, totally okay. Now, in high school, no, you plunk the kid the next time he hits that.
Oh, see? Yeah. See? Now, so, it's different in high school. But my other thing is, he says good sportsmanship, but I don't think it's bad sportsmanship not to meet the other guy at home plate. Do you see what I'm saying?
And he talks about the beginning of the tournament and the end of the tournament. The tournament wasn't over. The game wasn't
right,
even
game
over
wasn't over.
Why don't you just bring him a cookie? Why don't you bring him something? Hey, nice job. I'm giving you a present.
What do you guys think about this? Did you guys see the video earlier in the year? And this is the other side of this coin. I think it were two high schools, or it was a championship game. And the kid pitching for the team that won struck out the batter for the last game of the year, and they were former friends. They grew up together. He struck him out as his team was celebrating on the field and going nuts. The pitcher went up and hugged the batter.
That's game fine. The game is over.
Game is
really, really touching.
The game, really the game is over. And that's your best friend. Right. That's totally different. But you just said it, Fred. The game is over. The game wasn't over in this situation.
All right. Let's go to Tom and Glendora. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think you guys are kind of full of it. These kids hang out together before the games, after the games, and they become friends. So he's just congratulating another kid. You look at the pros. Some guy jacks it, and the outfielder robs him of a home run. They tip their cap to him. It's no big deal.
Tipping your cap and going to the home plate to give a guy five is two different things.
I would agree with you on that.
I don't see it as the same.
And by the way, these kids hang out together. This is the regional tournament.
They just met. Idaho's playing Oregon. They're best buds? Yeah. They don't know each other.
Tip of your cap is not going out of your way to congratulate somebody. You have to actually run to home plate and wait for him to drop the bases to give him depth.
Kevin, you know what? He just said a guy makes a great play. What if the guy who hit the ball runs out to center field and gives the guy who caught the ball over the fence a high five? Would people be cool with that? No.
Of course not.
All right. Anthony in Mission Viejo, go ahead.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I have a huge problem with this. I mean, I'm 35 years old, but I'm thinking back to the days when I played Little League Baseball and I pitched. If somebody hit a home run off of me, just like the Little League umpire said, I was plunking him the next time he came up. I mean, that's just the bottom line. This is to go to the Little League World Series. I just think it's ridiculous. Tip your hat, salute him, do something like that. But walking up to him during the game, I just have a big problem with it.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. Yeah, and it's a valid point. You're at the plate. You hit a screaming line drive. The second baseman in Little League moves to the center field side of the bag, leaves his feet, dives, makes the grab. You run out there and shake his hand?
No, you don't.
You run out there and go, man, that was great.
You would never do that. Never. So why would a pitcher leave the mound, Fred, head towards home plate, right, and put his hand out?
Hector and Inglewood, go ahead.
Absolutely not. You played a win, like Ronnie said, you played a win. I was middle linebacker at Inglewood High School. My best friend plays for Ronnie Fett High School. He broke my tackle, fourth the pitch down. To this day, we don't talk about it because I still get upset about it. So absolutely, man. That was my best friend. We went to kindergarten together. He's the godfather to my kid. And we still don't talk about it. So that's not cool. Not cool at all.
Thanks, Hector. I get that. It just comes down to how you think about competition. And I think also, honestly, it's generational. If you are older, I think you're less inclined to say, yeah, give them the old high five.
Right.
You know, it's like the people, and I saw this with our kids, sitting in the crowd at a Little League game. You know, and let's say Bobby is at the plate. But the parents always said, you don't root for individuals, you root for the team.
Right.
So here is power hitting Bobby at the plate, and the moms and some of the dads are going, let's go Tigers! Let's go Tigers! Let's go Tigers! And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's Bobby.
That's Bobby. Bobby's the best hitter on the team. Let's go Tigers!
Why can't you call out Bobby's name?
Oh, because we can't individualize
Bobby.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Bobby's part of the team. And the whole team wins or loses. Not just Bobby, even though Bobby's the only guy on the team that can play. And Bobby knows, by the way, that he's the only guy on the team that can play.
You know, as a kid, that's what they called me. My name was Bobby. And I can remember distinctly being up to the plate and hearing parents go, come on, Bob, punch it to right field. Or you know what I mean? Like try to get a hit. Or you got a couple of ducks on the pond, knock it in. You know what I mean? Like Why is that a bad thing?
Because we don't want little Timmy on the bench to feel sorry for himself by singling out Bob. So we don't want to do that.
No, you're important too, Tim. Even though you think you're in right field, but you're sitting down facing the fence playing with the grass
right
out there. Even though you're standing on home plate and trying to hit like the bat is an axe. When I coached Little League one year, they had a kid. And the parents said, you got to play. We want you to play. We want you to be involved. This poor kid was terrified. He went up to bat. He stood on home plate. He stood on the plate. And faced the pitcher directly.
What?
And held the bat.
Like an axe.
Like an axe over his head.
Did he get a hit?
He would have been decapitated. I ran out there and went, oh, my God. You can't know.
No, that's not the way we do it here.
Stand over here and, you know, hold the bat this way. You don't stand right in the middle of the plate like you're holding an axe. But this kid is as important as Bobby.
Unbelievable.
David and Fontana, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. Look at professional golf. The guy hits the hole in one, he high-fives everybody on the tee box. You know, just showing good sportsmanship. You beat me, and so congratulations. I'm out.
I'd say it's still different. That's a once-in-a-life, you know, like could be a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence, a hole-in-one, Fred. I look at that as totally different than a game is going on and a guy hits a home run off of you during the game. I really do.
So when Blake Griffin, think back to when Blake Griffin was playing for the Clippers.
And he made those awesome dunks or whatever, should you high-five him?
And he posterized Mozgov.
Right.
I mean, and it was spectacular. Did Mozgov run up to him right there and go, hey, man, that was unbelievable.
Right, here you go. Give me some skin.
Give me some on that. Man, you just humiliated me.
I really love when you had your junk in my face. That was fun.
Yeah, that was. Let's go. Yeah. Let's do it.
All right, one more. Chris in L.A., go ahead.
Hey, guys. I mean, you guys sound like this is 1950s. First of all, I think it's great that kids will have some sportsmanship like that. It's not like you tell the kids ahead of time, if this happens, go do that. But if he decided on his own to do it, so be it. But the other thing I like about it is, hey, he might be telling the kid, yo, I don't care about that whole thing. I got this next team. He might be playing mind games. I love that attitude. Letting them know, that didn't bother me. Oh, what, you didn't have anything for me? Let's do it again next time.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, your cell was bad there. I'll say this. Maybe, to be fair, Chris had a point. Maybe, you know, he's messing with him. He's playing mind games.
Nah, he was impressed that he gave up such a home run.
I'll tell you what. If I'm the coach of that kid, I'm hoping the coach had I hope that he spoke to two players on that play. Because the one thing that we haven't brought up, and the first thing I noticed, Rob, when you saw that ball go over the scoreboard, did you see what the center fielder did? Center fielder didn't move.
No,
the center fielder didn't move, and I have a problem when major leaguers do that. I think you're showing up your own pitcher. So, from my standpoint, I'm like, the coach better have had a talk with the center fielder,
because he didn't, Fred. He didn't flinch, but it was such a shot. It's just like, oh my God! And this kid, though, how tall is he, Jason? 6'4"? A 12-year-old?
Let me look it up. It's got to be over 6 feet.
He's over 6 feet tall. He's a monster. Unbelievable.
All right. Not a good night for one of the Rams in a game that didn't matter. Vinny Bonsignore will join us, our Rams insider, next. It's Fred Rogan and Rob Parker on AM570 LA Sports.
Welcome back to Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Rob Parker in for us today. Take it away, Fred.
Well, thank you, Jason. That was very kind of you. Somewhat shocking. Hey, visit Outback Steakhouse and mention the Dodgers. Hit 3 homers last night on AM570 LA Sports, and you'll receive a free Bloomin' Onion. Only at Outback Steakhouse, locations in Southern California. Limit 1 per table. Some news just in, Mike Trout on the disabled list. So
should I still go down to Anaheim tomorrow?
Yeah, go.
All right.
Inflammation in the right wrist, eligible for activation August 16th. Also, the official Lakers and Clippers schedules are out. As for the Lakers, if there are notable dates, the 21st of November against Cleveland, the 10th against Philadelphia, they'll be there. The 4th of November, Toronto at the Lakers. January 2nd, Oklahoma City at the Lakers. The full schedules are just being released. And the NFL preseason is underway. Last night, the Rams ran into a buzzsaw in Baltimore. The game really didn't matter, but it did for one player. Let's bring on our Rams insider, Vinny Bonsignore. Vinny, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, Fred.
All right, so last night, I don't know what anybody expected because there wasn't a whole lot to see. The reserves, the second string guys, the guys fighting for a job, got the minutes. And quite frankly, it didn't go well, did it?
It didn't go well at all. And, you know, I think if you're focusing on the score, you're focusing on the wrong thing. I barely even looked at the scoreboard. You know, there were some players that I wanted to see, and I think there were some players that the Rams wanted to see to, you know, maybe answer some questions about, one of which being Sean Mannion, the backup quarterback to Jared Goff. We all saw last year in Philadelphia and in Minnesota how important a backup quarterback could be, you know, when a starter goes down, and there was confidence in Nick Foles, there was confidence in Case Keenum with the Vikings and the Eagles. Does Sean Mannion have that kind of confidence? And while the Rams are kind of talking a good game about him, he hasn't shown anything yet in all of the times that he's been on the field, and including last night, which was just horrible.
Yeah, but look, we've seen him in the past. He's had glimpses. And you think to yourself, maybe this guy should be playing more when Case Keenum was here. Maybe he should have played over Jared Goff. What was it last night? And was that wasn't the stake in his heart, was it?
No, it's not the stake in his heart, but it continues a bad trend for him. He's not been good at all in training camp. He wasn't good during OTAs, and even last year he wasn't very good. It's almost like he took a step back from 2 years ago when people were talking about him as the potential starter for the Rams. He has not progressed as you would want and need a fourth-year quarterback to do, especially somebody that's going into his second year in Sean McVay's offense. So, you know, yes, there was a makeshift offensive line in front of him. He wasn't playing with the starters, but it's the little things like, you know, making accurate throws. He was throwing over guys' head. He wasn't showing much mobility. He threw a terrible interception, which, as a veteran quarterback, even though he hasn't played much, this is his fourth year in the league. He should have seen that and read that better, but he threw an easy interception. It just wasn't a good night. And, you know, I'm not one to overreact in that kind of a situation, but I go back to what he's been doing so far in training camp and what he did in OTAs and even last year. And you just haven't seen the progress that you would need from him. And again, if it ever came down to it, knock on wood, hopefully Jared Goff, like last year, remains unscathed in 2018. But what if he doesn't? And what if they have to, you know, press Sean Mannion into duty? Is he going to be capable of keeping this ship, you know, floating? We don't expect him to play like Jared Goff, but he has to be capable and efficient and at least, you know, be able to keep them in games. I'm not so sure that he's shown that he can do that.
All right, so let's say he can't do that. Then what do they do?
That's the, you know, big question. Is it something they should have done? You know, what I wrote today in The Athletic was, you know, maybe they should have brought in a veteran, a more established veteran, at least to push him in training camp, if not unseat him in training camp, because I think you're playing with some fire, just expecting him to be able to get the job done if Jared Goff goes down. Now, in talking to some Rams people, they had a lot of boxes to check off this offseason, revamping their defense in order to, you know, fit Wade Phillips. They had to spend a lot of money to do that. They had to replace Sammy Watkins. They brought in Brandon Cooks. That was an investment. So the backup quarterback sort of took a back seat, and there's confidence in the building that whoever the quarterback is, Sean McVay is a good enough coach to be able to coach him up and keep them competitive. But to me, that's a little bit of wishful thinking, a little bit of hope. And you would hate for a Rams season that is, by all accounts, you know, we're talking about a Super Bowl contending team. You would hate for something to go awry because they didn't have a capable backup quarterback, even in a short-term basis.
Our NFL insider, Rams insider, Vinny Bonsignor, with me on AM 570 LA Sports. All right,
let me add one thing.
Sure.
You know, they practiced here in Baltimore for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. Well, the third string quarterback right now for the Ravens is a guy by the name of Robert Griffin III, who was the quarterback for the Redskins, or one of the quarterbacks for the Redskins, when Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator in Washington. Those two had you know, some time together on Monday after practice. I kind of made a mental note of it. What are the Baltimore Ravens going to do with him? Obviously, Lamar Jackson is going to be the backup to Joe Flacco. Do they keep him around as a third quarterback, or could he become available and be somebody that at least can keep you in games? That's just a little, just want to throw that out there.
All right, Vinny, we'll keep an eye on that. That's good. That's good. You know, you dug deep for that one. Just observe them standing there and going, maybe.
You know, I mean, and RG3 made it a point after practice to come over and talk to Sean and Les Snead. Les Snead was there as well, the Rams general manager. So, you know, he has to know what his situation in Baltimore is. They're going to go with Lamar Jackson, obviously. So if he isn't in their plans, he could be available at some point.
All right, who's going to back up Todd Gurley?
That's a good question. You know, Justin Davis played really well last night, and Malcolm Brown is a guy that they have counted on in the past and has delivered. They're really high on John Kelly, the rookie from Tennessee. So that's going to be a battle. But I think Justin Davis took a mighty step forward in solidifying his spot. He was here last year. I don't think he was active at all. Maybe the very last game of the season against the 49ers, but otherwise he was on the roster but not active. But he's got talent. He showed that at USC. He's been showing it in training camp and last night for sure. So it'll be interesting. They've got some talented players, and there's going to be some hard cuts to make at running back.
All right, before I let you go, give me the most recent Aaron Donald update.
The same as it was to start this week. And, you know, I think as Les Snead indicated, Tuesday in Baltimore, they're close. They're in the same zip code, area code, ballpark. I have to believe that something will get done before the season. You know, and I think for Aaron's situation, it should be signing the contract and solidifying, you know, his finances for his generation and the generations of Donald's to come. There is an offer that would make him, you know, really rich and pay him accordingly. But if he wants quarterback, you know, elite quarterback type money, he might have to play this year under his current contract and take his chances in whatever free agency he's going to get at the end of 2018.
All right, Vinny, safe travels home. Thanks for jumping on.
All right, Fred, take care.
You too, Vinny. Vinny Bonsignore, Rams insider. And don't forget, the Chargers open their preseason tomorrow night against the Arizona Cardinals. The pregame show will be here on AM 570 LA Sports. And then shift on over to AM 640. Am I right, Jason?
Actually, you know what? We've streamlined it this year. It's all on AM 640.
Oh, everything is on.
Pre-game and the game and the postgame and everything else. Yep.
Okay, so everything is on KFI. The pregame, the game, and the postgame. All of it. You'll hear it tomorrow on AM 640 KFI.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
And listen, everyone will be rushing to the theaters beginning today because there is a wild, wild shark movie breaking. And it's Free Movie Friday and Adam Tickets, the best app to book your movie tickets to see The Meg. The Jaws of Our Time and Space. This shark is El Gigante Prehistoric, y'all, in theaters today. So don't miss your chance to witness this event. The biggest shark ever to chomp on the big screen, y'all. Text Adam. That's ATOM1 28661 for your chance to win. Standard data and text message rates may apply. The Meg getting so much buzz. And don't forget the Black Klansman. That's going to be a wild, wild flick as well. Black Klansman, y'all.
Speaking of the megalodon, did you guys see the video of the fisherman that almost got jawsed the other day? Did you see that, Rob?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What happened?
Guy was out there fishing, had a pole, and a shark jumped out of the water and almost bit his foot off.
Oh, man.
Gigantic shark jumped out of the water, almost got him.
Sharks are very hungry this summer.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Do you remember we saw the one where the girl had she was on the dock and a sea lion came and pulled her in? Wait, do you remember that?
That's right. A guy came and grabbed her.
And the father jumped in right after
in Australia,
got pulled
yeah.
in. Right.
Yeah.
And the dad, but you know, he looked like a hero dad. You know, your kid gets pulled in by a sea lion, you immediately jump in to save her. But he made a mistake afterwards. He was pretty insensitive because he didn't ask his daughter if she wanted to go to Red Lobster for lunch, and she just wasn't in the mood.
Oh, come on. Look at you. Look at you. Two shows, Niley Pacoima Hilton.
Long Hello. John Silver's, maybe? No? Okay, that's not working either. Okay, cool. Speaking of fish. Good call or bad call for the Angels to entertain trading Mike Trout. Now, we talked about a few minutes ago that Mike Trout was just placed on the 10-day disabled list with inflammation in his hand. We've discussed throughout the week with Bill Plaschke and others, multiple reports saying that Mike Socha, his tenure in Anaheim, likely coming to an end. And the Angels have only made one playoff appearance with Mike Trout on their roster. Consensus is, yes, the best player in baseball, but one player in baseball can only make so much of a difference when you have so many other needs on a team. So some are proposing that the Angels could look to trade Mike Trout away before he can walk as a free agent after the 2020 season. Would it be a good call or a bad call for the Angels to entertain trading Mike Trout? Fred.
Bad call right now. 2020 season. Not in the next 10 minutes. Now, as they continue on, if things aren't changing, sure. If that's the only way you're going to improve, because we know one guy is not going to make the difference. Mike Trout, obviously the best player in the game, is not going to make the difference. So yeah, I would entertain that possibility, but I certainly wouldn't do it now.
How about you, Rob?
Good call. You always remember, everybody's been traded. All of the great players have been traded. It's not the end of the world. Sometimes you need to restart over, right? Or maybe it's change of scenery for him. So it's not a bad thing like, oh, we don't want you. It's just that it's not working out here at this time and we're not ready for you to win. So move on. I say it's a good call.
Right now?
I'm just saying to entertain it. I'm not saying if the right package was in front of me, would I do it? I would do it if the right package was.
And by the way, the asking price would be much better now than, say, for Bryce Harper, who is a pending free agent.
Exactly.
If you wanted to trade him, you wouldn't get as much now because he can walk. What do you say, Vic?
It's a horrible call.
Okay.
This is a generational player, once-in-a-lifetime player. He's Mickey Mantle reincarnate. You build around Trout. You build around Trouty. Right now, you got all these complimentary pieces that obviously are not doing the job. I mean, Calhoun got hot late, but he had a horrific first half. You know, Albert Pujols can't run. You got, of course, Ohtani-san that's, you know, lit up baseball. So you have Ohtani-san, and you have Mike Trout, and you got Upton. You got ball players. You just have a horrific pitching staff. You get your pitching staff together, you build around Mike, and eventually the Angels will win again. But you don't get rid of the best player on the planet.
All right. Good call or bad call to say that Kevin Durant is the most talented scorer in the history of the NBA. These are words from Andre Iguodala, his teammate with the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, what a shock.
He says he's the most talented scorer of all time, hands down. He's a walking 30-point scorer. Most guys don't need the ball in their hands to get a lot into a rhythm. He doesn't. He naturally scores 30 points very efficiently. Good call or bad call to say Kevin Durant is the most talented scorer in the history of the game of basketball. Rob Parker.
Bad call. He's a great player. People kill me with this prisoner of the moment instead of taking a look at, you know, a lot of great players who play in this league. And don't get me wrong, he's a fantastic player. He's not the best scorer ever to play in the NBA. I'm not buying it.
What about you, Fred?
Yeah, I think it's a bad call as well. And although I hate to agree with you, basically for what you said, prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, he's great.
He's won the last two MVPs right into the finals. Everybody says back-to-back championships, so he must be the best.
Yeah, well, you know when he's the best? When he is the best.
Right.
When he scores more points than anybody else in his career. That's when he's the best.
And right now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar still holds that.
Yes.
And I believe Durant's like 35th or something. Which is still pretty high considering he hasn't been playing that long. But the three-point line and all that's, you know, skewed it a little bit. How about you, Vic?
Well, Iguodala is tripping if he thinks Durant is the greatest scorer, natural scorer of all time. Do your homework, Iguodala. Started with the captain, of course, the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. These are the great natural scorers. If you want to go back in the day, you go Oscar Robertson. Was an incredible
scorer. And you know
scorer.
What, Vic? When you talk about Oscar Robertson and the triple-double, there was no three-point shot when he averaged a triple-double.
That's
so
right.
Think about that.
So Iguodala's got to do his association homework. But obviously, you know, Durantula has had an incredible career.
Durantula? Is that yours?
No. He's been called Durantula.
He hates it, by the way.
Oh, I've never heard it.
Yeah, apparently, Kevin Durant does not like the
doesn't
nickname
like Durantula.
No, he never has.
That's why I don't call him that, because I know him.
Oh, that's why, Fred?
Oh, is that it?
You.
Absolutely. I wouldn't disrespect him that
way. You don't want to push his buttons.
No.
No.
Mm-mm. I don't want the Durantula mad at me.
I don't want him to bite you. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Good call or bad call for Kelvin Benjamin to blow off Cam Newton before yesterday's preseason matchup. Now, we talked earlier in the week about Kelvin Benjamin making some comments about Cam Newton when the two were teammates in Carolina. Kelvin believing Cam held him back as a receiver and basically forced him out of Carolina. Well, Cam Newton walked up to him before the game yesterday, tried to speak to Kelvin Benjamin. Benjamin was not having it. He said after the game, quote, "I wasn't even trying to listen," as Cam Newton was trying to make peace with Kelvin Benjamin.
Good call or bad call for Kelvin Benjamin to blow off Cam Newton after Cam was the one trying to play peacemaker based off the fact that Kelvin was the one who basically started this entire beef? Fred?
Fine call.
Okay.
Fine call.
Okay with it?
You don't have to talk to who you don't want to talk to.
Right.
You don't have to deal with what you don't want to deal with. You know, Cam came up. They had an exchange.
Cam bumped him. Did you see that in the initial? He bumped him.
Right. He didn't want to talk about it. He's done talking about it. I think it's fine.
How about you, Rob?
Good call, too, Fred. Okay. I agree. And this is the other part. If I wanted to talk to you in the first place, I wouldn't have told the reporters. I would have told you to your face. So why would I want to talk to you now, right? That's why he didn't do it. So...
But is that stand up, Rob? Is that being a man?
No, it's not. I think I would have handled it if I got a problem with you. I'd tell you to your face.
But doesn't Cam have a point? It's like you didn't say any of this when you were in my space, and now you said it to a reporter.
But that's what I'm saying is this fits Benjamin because he didn't do it that way. So why would he want to talk to Cam now is what I'm saying. He's not that guy.
So he's petty, basically.
Yes.
Okay. How about you, Vic?
It's a good call.
Okay.
Meaningless football game. No one cares. Get yourself fired up. That fires up Benjamin. That fires up Cam. I'm all for it for the entertainment value of watching an exhibition game. And both guys got off last night. Cam had a nice game, and Benjamin had a nice game. I think it fired them both up. Let there be some fire burning in the exhibition season. Let it burn, y'all.
All right. Channeling your inner Usher. Let it burn. I got you, Vic.
Sure.
Good call or bad call for other pro sports league to adapt Players Weekend like Major League Baseball. Now, the weekend of August 24th to the 26th, Major League Baseball is bringing back something they started last year where they're allowing players on the field to change the names on the back of their jerseys to some nicknames. The Dodgers are involved in this. John Axford's name is going to be the Axeman. Ross Stripling's is going to be Chicken Strip. Have you seen the D-backs, Brad Boxberger? He's actually going to have emojis on the back of his jersey, Fred. Yeah. Picture of a box and a picture of a hamburger.
Yeah.
That's by far the best one. But some thought process out there that possibly the NFL or the NBA should think about adapting this as well to let the players have a little bit of fun. Would it be a good call or a bad call for other pro sports leagues to adapt Players Weekend like Major League Baseball, Fred?
Well, this is just me. But I hate Players Weekend.
Okay.
I think it's a bad call.
Okay.
It reminds
Fred, you're such a grumpy old man.
I'm not, but you know. So now I'll go back to when my daughter was playing softball. And you go out to the game, and the kids have their names on the back of their jerseys. But you know, it's like Little Piggy Tails. And, you know.
Snow White.
You know, whatever. I'm like, what is this? What is this? And maybe it is generational. I don't think, you know, Little Barbie Mama. I mean, come on.
No. Little Barbie Mama?
Whatever they wore.
I think
wasn't there Powderpuff Girls, something like that? They had their little nicknames on there?
Oh, yeah.
Fred, I could see your jersey if they let you do it. You could put grease and formula on the back of yours.
I stopped doing that, Bob. And by the way, I never used that. I want that on the record.
You want that on the record? Never used that.
That went away years ago.
That's the cheap stuff. You had good stuff.
Yeah, no, right. So you wouldn't think it was grease and formula.
Exactly.
That went away a long time ago. No, I think it's a bad call.
What about you, Rob?
I think it's a good call. You know what? Let the kids have their. It's a different world we live in. And as long as it's not like you can wear it at any time, you know, like, for just a couple of days or the weekend, I'm cool with that.
And obviously no expletives or anything. You can't have that.
Oh, no. None of that.
Although I do think the emoji idea is cool.
Like, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Like, you don't want weed head or something like that on the back.
Well, I mean, if you play in the state, California or Colorado,
yeah,
maybe.
That's true.
Well, the old XFL. That's where this started. Right. He hate me.
He hate me.
That's right.
One of the greatest jerseys of all time. He hate me.
He hate me.
One of the great moments in TV history. And Fred was part of that.
Asked him, why are you he hate me? You know what he said?
What?
Because the way I play, he hates me.
Yeah.
How about you, Vic?
Great call. Yeah. Baseball needs to expand, make it more fun. It's so boring now.
Stop it, Vic.
With the shifts, waiting for home runs. Let the players have some fun.
I agree
let
with you on the shifts. Let the fans have some fun. I hate the shifts.
The shifts, man. I mean, baseball must attract a new generation, let's face it. And when you get inventive and get creative, I'm digging what they're doing with the unions. Let the players get creative. Fans will love it. I dig it.
I'm for threat on this one, by the way. I'm a threat, and I think it's like a, I think it's a cheap trick to get people to buy more of your merch. I just think that the MLB's got a monetary reason for this. I don't think it's all fun and games.
I agree with you on the money thing, but the money thing is on.
I admit that
the money's on everything. That's all these leagues. The same thing when the NBA have this, the jerseys with the sleeves in it. You know why?
So,
but for a reason. Europeans won't buy the jerseys, the basketball jerseys. So they made them like soccer jerseys. And that was to sell in Europe. That's the only reason. And they needed the players to wear them to make them authentic. But that's the only reason. They couldn't sell basketball jerseys in Europe.
But they wear basketball jerseys in Europe.
No, but I'm just saying they wanted them to be the more soccer style with the sleeves in them. That's where that whole thing came from. Out of nowhere, the NBA wanted the sleeves in the jerseys.
You know, it's all driven by money. Every single decision any of these leagues make. But you can have both. You can have your cake and eat it too. Have a little bit of fun. Make some profit on the side for somebody that wants to buy a jersey with a picture of a smiling frog on the back. It's all good. And that's good call back call.
All right, Kevin, nice job. Good call to you today.
Have a great weekend.
Petros and Money coming up next. They'll join us on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rob Parker this week. Rob, again, thanks for sitting in. Really appreciate it.
Nah, appreciate you having me, you and Jay Stu. Thank you, guys. Kev, appreciate it. Vic, any chance I get to come and hang out with you guys, I'm always game. You know that.
Want to hear something interesting? We talked about this yesterday. A decline in ratings for the Hall of Fame game.
Because it was big. It was a big number.
18%.
18% decline in ratings. So I just got the numbers for last night's Rams games. On Channel 2 here in Los Angeles. Rams and Baltimore, not a great game, but still.
But still it's football, right?
Still, yeah. 0.9.
Wow.
In the demo. So if you increase that to households, which most people look at, it was probably about a 1.7 in Los Angeles. And if you bought that package and put it on TV, you lost money.
Right. Wow.
Preseason football, and this is what I said yesterday. Everything is oversaturated. Preseason football simply doesn't sell. It's not like you're going to make money on those games if you own the rights because you can't get the same kind of advertising dollars because the numbers are so depressed. And in the preseason, the numbers are going to be bad. And if that's what the Rams did last night, one can only imagine what the Chargers will do tomorrow night. And keep this in mind, both teams are going to be good. I mean, the Chargers can win the AFC West. The Rams can win the NFC West, but that's how it started. 0.9.
Yeah.
Now, Fred, something that also feeds into what you said yesterday. I just saw a graphic just in the last couple hours, Business Weekly or something. You know cable's losing subscribers at like 6 people an hour or something like that?
I didn't know it was that fast.
It's on a rapid decline in this country. So what are all the sports going to do with the TV rights now? It's just going to be a discounted rate or they're going to disperse it?
No, that's fair. And here's what's going to happen. First of all, the NFL, for example, the money comes from what? Broadcast television.
From television,
broadcast television. So even if you cut the cable and lose your cable or your satellite, you still have broadcast television. That's free. So those numbers are still going to work because everybody can see that. And that's why
even
it's
though
so
they're
important.
Going down, but you're right.
Yeah. And as they decrease, anything counts. So even though your number is lower, it's still higher than everything else. So it actually is
cost-effective, right.
And you need to have that, even if it's a lost leader.
But I'm not surprised when you says that about, because I talk to people all the time, and everybody tell me, oh, I don't have cable. I can't get over how many people say that they don't have cable.
But you know what that's leading to. That's leading to, as they say, OTT, over the top. And over the top basically is now you can buy an app, and you can spend so much money per month. And they're going to start streaming that programming on apps. So that's where they're going to, the leagues are going to make money. The NBA is working on a plan where you can buy in. If you see a game is exciting, you can buy in online, $2. You can watch the second half. As the game decreases, it costs you less. You want to watch the final 3 minutes? That might cost you 75 cents. You want to watch the whole game? That might cost you $5. So that's how they're going to do it and keep generating money. Most of this stuff is going to start streaming. In your house, if you, I don't know how old your TVs are, but a lot of them are smart TVs. And smart TVs basically work. You can bring cable or satellite in, or you can do everything and have no cable or satellite and work with apps. Pay for the app, you're in. Netflix on a smart TV, all you do is hit the button, there's Netflix.
Right.
Same thing with ESPN is doing that. NBC Sports now has something called Gold, where you'll be able to see Premier League soccer, things like that. I think Golf Channel is going to put some of its stuff on over the top. So that's what you're going to see happen.
I liked when Senator McCain came up with the idea of a la carte cable. That's what I want, Fred. Where you don't buy the whole. I don't need 500 channels that has nothing on. I just pick the 8 or 10 channels that I really watch, and I pay for that. Why can't we have that?
Yeah. See, here's the problem. That's why they're at where they're at now. Because the way it worked, cable channels, for example, make one up. Just give me any cable channel. Home Shopping Network.
Okay.
Home Shopping Network per month gets paid per subscriber.
Right, right.
So they might make a dollar. They might make
25 cents.
They
don't make that much
money,
but I know what you mean, right.
ESPN, for
example. Because ESPN makes $6, right?
Makes $7.
$7.
Okay, and 90 million people that were wired, as they say, times 7.
A month.
Nine times seven, 63. $630 million
a month.
And they haven't sold any advertising. So what would happen is a company like Disney, for example, would try to bundle all of their Disney properties together, Disney Channel, ESPN, ABC,
ESPN
whatever it may be.
ESPN2, right.
Right. And what they would do is say, oh, you want ESPN? Well, you got to take all these other ones too. So they all got paid. And people finally said, this is absurd.
Right, right.
We don't want to spend the money. And the cable and the distributors, like an NBC or a Fox or an ABC, said, well, we're not going to separate because we're going to lose money.
This is what I don't understand. Help me.
So now people have just rebelled, and they're cutting the cable. That's what's happened.
But what? Here's my only thing, Fred. Most people, what's the country wired for cable? 80%, 85%?
Yeah.
Okay. Why does NBC still have to have the network when they could go and just have an NBC station, right, on cable rather than paying affiliates and all the other things? I'm not talking about the O&Os, but everybody else. If I'm NBC, I come on at prime time at 8 o'clock. I show my shows or daytime for soap operas or the morning show to see the Today Show. And I just come on during those times to show those programs with commercials or whatever. Why do I still need affiliates?
Why? Because the way it works, affiliates are paid a fee.
No, I know, right. Why should I pay them now?
Well, no, NBC doesn't pay those affiliates. The affiliates pay NBC. And on a national level, in broadcast TV, distribution means ratings and advertising dollars.
Right.
So you need all of those affiliate stations. You need to cover 90% of the country, 100% of the country.
But if I have cable, I get 85 or...
Yeah, but the danger is cable, people are cutting the cord.
Right.
So you're not going to be getting that. And also the FCC mandates that there is free broadcasting in this country. They'll never do away with the networks. And at the end of the day, as people cut the cord in cable, the networks will become more valuable. Well, there you go. There's a little business conversation.
There it is.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Petros and Money next.